Words of verse 22, just of that passage. The Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, and the 22nd verse. It's one of those texts that ought to be known, ought to be memorized, even the reference. Remember, when you memorize the scriptures, it's good to memorize the reference as well. Matthew 27, the 22nd verse. It's a very significant verse in the Word of God, and it poses a very significant question. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." The theme we've given to this message is a first minister's response to the greatest issue in life. It is true to say life is full of questions. All of us, regardless of our position, regardless of our occupation, we constantly hear, we're constantly asked all sorts of questions. That happens on a daily basis, sometimes even more frequently. On occasions, we're asked questions on an hourly basis. But I want you to notice that here is a question with a difference. We need to take careful note of the words that are before us in this text of Scripture. Because when you think of all the questions that you have asked or could be asked in this world or in this life, the question before you here in this verse of Scripture has to be described as life's greatest question. There's not a doubt about that, men and women. There is no greater, no more vital, no more important question in this world or in your life than the question that is before you this evening. This question was first asked. It came first from the lips of Pontius Pilate. Remember that he was the Roman governor of Judea. The Romans had a regional governmental system, and Pontius Pilate was the first minister of the region of Judea in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that first minister, Pontius Pilate, was faced with a dilemma. In fact, you could say he was faced with a crisis in his own life, in his own political career as well. He was faced with the greatest issue, the greatest question of his life. He knew, there wasn't a doubt in his mind, he knew that Jesus Christ was innocent. He knew that he was guiltless. As the passage said, he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He wanted to release the Lord Jesus from custody, from imprisonment, but he was full of fear. He feared the people. He feared the crowd. Pilate was the ultimate example of a fickle ruler, a fickle politician who was worried about his reputation. And he offered the crowd Barabbas, to release Barabbas. Or he offered the crowd to crucify, to execute Barabbas, but they refused. And in those circumstances, in that dilemma, he asked the crowd this question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And I want you tonight in the gospel service to ask yourself this question. What shall I do then with Jesus? So let's consider together a first minister's response to the greatest, let me underline that, the greatest issue in life. You'll notice first of all that this is a particular question. You think of what happens at Westminster every week, what is known as PMQs. The reality is that politicians have all sorts of questions to ask, all sorts of questions to answer. The same thing happens in our own local government at Stormont. The same thing is true of our own First Minister. And Pilate was no different. Pilate, as the governor, as the First Minister of Judea, it would have been the same for him. He would have been asked many questions. He himself would have to make many inquiries. Questions on various subjects, questions that were great, questions that were important, great questions of state. But this was a particular question. And it's a particular question for this reason. It deals with a specific issue. It deals with a specific person, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the words that he uttered. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? You see, he's not considering what he'll do with the high priest of the Jews. He's not considering what he's going to do with one of his servants, one of those in his employment or in his household. He's not considering here what he's going to do with Caesar or with the Roman Senate. He's considering what he's going to do with the Lord Jesus. And men and women in the gospel service tonight, it's exactly the same for you. The question that you have to answer this evening is not what you're going to do with one of your relatives. It's not what you're going to do with the church or with the Christians. You're not having to ask yourself tonight, what will you do with a preacher or some other religious leader? You're not having to consider or to make the inquiry, what will I do with the political parties? The question is about the Lord Jesus. So how solemn, men and women, how serious that is. That is the reason why this is life's greatest question. It's because of the person that you're considering. And let me emphasize, there is no more important person in all the world, there's no more important person in all history than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the facts that emphasize that is the dating system that is still used to this very day. Remember, the dates are marked from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, either BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. That displays, never forget that. It's a proof of the fact that there was such a person as Jesus Christ. Every time you write the date on a letter, a check, whatever the case may be, it displays to us he was the greatest person in all history. There is no more important person. You think tonight of who he was. He wasn't just man, he was the God-man. Jesus Christ is unique. He had two natures. And as God, that means he knows all about you. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are ever open to their cry. He's not just God, he's also the Savior. Remember, the name Jesus means Savior. And he's the only Savior. We stressed that last Sabbath morning in the children's address when we used the number one. He's the only Savior. He's the Savior of all men. If you're ever to be saved, you can only be saved by Jesus Christ. That's a vital truth. As well as being God and being the Savior, remember too, he's the judge. But back in the book of Genesis, Abraham spoke about the one who is the judge of all the earth. Who is that? Who was he referring to? He was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, and he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has risen him from the dead. It's a reference to the Lord Jesus. He is the judge. Are you familiar with that story of Abraham Lincoln? As a young man, he helped save the life of another. They were in very extreme circumstances. But then many years later, whenever Abraham Lincoln was sitting as a judge in a case in the court, that same man was brought before him as a guilty criminal. The man appealed for leniency, for mercy from Lincoln as he sat upon the judgment seat that day. And Abraham Lincoln gave a very profound answer. The man reminded him of what he had done many years before, how he had saved his life. He said, on that day I was your Savior. On this day I am your judge. And that sums it up very well, men and women. Today, the Lord Jesus is your Savior. There's a day coming when he will be your judge. Today, he sits upon a throne of grace. There's a day coming when he will sit upon a throne of judgment. And you need to be ready. You need to be ready for that day. Remember, too, that he's the king. The wise men we'll be thinking of in a few weeks' time, they came saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Pontius Pilate knew that. Remember that he wrote those very words on the cross of the Lord Jesus in three languages: "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." He knew that he was a king. Remember too, he's King of the universe. The Bible in the book of the Revelation says he's the King of kings. But here's the question tonight, men and women. Is he your king? Does he reign upon the throne of your heart? So this is the person that you're considering tonight. This is a particular question, a very particular question. What will you do with Jesus? You're faced tonight, as Pilate was those many years ago, with the greatest issue in life. I want you to see as well that it wasn't just a particular question, it's a personal question. Think of the words of the text. Think of what Pilate actually said. "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Does not bring it home, men and women. You see, Pilate had to decide for himself. Pilate had to answer personally. No one else could give the answer for him. Not the high priest, not Herod. Do you remember in the gospel record we're told that Pilate sent the Lord Jesus to Herod because he wanted Herod to answer the question, but Herod sent the Savior back again. So the high priest couldn't answer, Herod couldn't answer. Not the crowd, not the people, not the multitude. Not even his wife. Do you remember that his wife, the passage tells us that she warned him? Verse 19, he was sat down in the judgment seat. His wife sent on to him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." That's an interesting verse. The Lord can use dreams. The Lord can speak even to ungodly people through dreams. God warned Pontius Pilate that day by the message, the very earnest message that his wife sent him, but she couldn't answer this question for him. It was a personal question. Pilate had to answer the question for himself. He had to give his own response to the greatest issue in life. And the same is true of you tonight. You must answer this question too. You can't dodge the question. No one else, doesn't matter who it is, no one else in this meeting, no one else in your life, no one else in this world, not your parents, not your partner, not your wife, not your husband, not your children, none of your relatives, no one else can answer. You must decide. You yourself must give the answer to this question tonight. Others can plead with you. Others can warn you. And if they do speak to you, if they do witness to you, you need to listen carefully to what they have to say. George Truett, I've mentioned Dr. Truett to you before, the pastor of the First Baptist in Dallas for many years. As a young man, he was converted at a gospel meeting up in the mountains of North Carolina. They went to the subsequent meetings. It was what Americans call revival, what we would call a gospel mission. He went along with one of his school friends. Went the next night after he was converted. He could see that his school friend was troubled as he sat in the meeting that night. And he leaned over, urged him to get saved, urged him to go forward. And his friend gave him a little rebuff, put him off. He said, "I'll come back tomorrow night. If I feel the same tomorrow night, I'll go up and give my heart and life to Jesus Christ." Truett urged him still, don't put it off. You need to come to Christ tonight. He went to school the next day. Friend didn't appear. Went to the meeting that night. Still his friend didn't appear. The next day, friend wasn't at school, so he called at his home on the way home from school, only to find that he had taken ill after the gospel meeting that night, when he had put off his decision to come to Jesus Christ. He'd taken a severe case of pneumonia. The doctor wasn't allowing anyone in to see him. He called at that home for a week solid to inquire about his friend. When he called the eighth day, the mother of his friend said, "There's no hope for him, George." So he pleaded with the mother to allow him to go in to see his friend. He said, "I want to speak to him about the Lord." You know what he found when he went in to the bedside? His friend was repeating over the words that he had said to him that night in the gospel meeting. "Not tonight, George. Not tonight, George. I'll get saved tomorrow night, George." And that's how he died, men and women, without Christ. George had warned him. George had urged him. And some maybe have done the same for you. If that is so, you need to listen. Listen very carefully to the warnings of your friend. You ask, "What can I do tonight with Jesus?" She said in the gospel meeting. That's a vital question. You'd be wise to consider that. Ask that this evening. What can you do? What answer can you give? Well, you'll either accept him or reject him. You'll either confess him or deny him. And I put the question to you this evening. Which will it be? What will you do with Jesus? Remember, you can't be neutral. Whatever you do, you can't stay in the middle. Pilate tried that. Do you remember that act that Pontius Pilate is most remembered for? That he washed his hands, and he did it in a public matter. He did it before the whole multitude. He wanted them to think, I'm neutral, I'm innocent, I'm washing my hands of this whole matter. You might try to do the same. You might say this evening, "I'm not for Christ, but neither am I against him." You want to be neutral, but you can't, men and women. This is a matter that you can't sit upon the fence on. There is no middle ground. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? "He that is not with me is against me." And the simple reality is this. If you don't accept Christ in the meeting, don't accept him as your Savior, then you're rejecting him and his offer of mercy. You can't be neutral. And remember this. It's a solemn thought. What you do with Christ, that will determine what he will do with you, especially on that great day of judgment that we emphasized a little earlier. In other words, if you confess him, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, confess him as your Savior, as your Lord, then on that day he will confess you before the Father. But if you deny him, then he will deny you. It's a personal question, men and women. It comes pointedly, individually, to every person in the meeting. What shall I do then with Jesus? You need to ask yourself, I want to ask you, what will your decision be in this gospel service this evening? There's one other thing I want you to see. A particular question, personal question. It's a pressing question. You see, Pilate must answer. And he must answer the question immediately. The multitude standing outside his palace that day, the multitude were crying, demanding a verdict. God in heaven wanted an answer, wanted a reply from the governor, from the first minister. Pilate couldn't wait. He had to answer, and he had to give an immediate response. He had to give his answer right away. And the same is true of you. You must do the same. You must answer this question. You must. It's an imperative. And you must answer it tonight. Right now, in the seat where you sit before leaving the gospel service. And remember that you will answer it. You will answer this question one way or another. Because if you don't accept Christ, then your answer to the question is, away with him. You're rejecting him. And how sad, men and women, how awfully sad that is. So I plead with you tonight. Let him be your Savior. Let that be your answer to life's greatest question. You remember Elijah standing upon Mount Carmel with a multitude of the nation of Israel gathered around him? He asked another question of the Israelites that day. How long halt ye between two opinions? And that's maybe true of you as well. You have been halting. You have been waiting. You have been delaying. You have been holding back on this matter, holding back accepting the Lord Jesus. I want you to know tonight that you've waited long enough. You've waited far too long already. And we want to plead with you in God's name. We want to plead with you to trust Jesus Christ immediately. Let me tell you a little story about an American Bible teacher, E. Schuller English. He has a number of books in print. He wrote the biography of Harry Ironside. Harry Ironside was a very noted Bible teacher in America, pastor at the Moody Church. He met a man on one occasion when he was staying in a hotel. The man recognized him. He had a casual acquaintance with him a couple of times before. The man that he met on that occasion had a brother who was saved, was a gospel ministry. A gospel ministry. He had a number of Schuller English's books in his library. The man began to speak to him, told Dr. English about his brother and about the books that he had. He mistakenly thought that this man, because of the way he was talking, he must be a Christian too. And he was surprised to find out that he wasn't. He started to witness to him, urged him to come to Christ. You need to settle that matter. The man said about his brother, I think he got all the religion that was needed in our family. That sort of talk and response. Dr. English urged him to come to Christ. The man casually turned away, took his wife by the arm, and he said, I'll be seeing you. Just 9 days later, Dr. Schuller lifted the paper, looking through the obituaries, saw the man's name listed. So I emphasize that to you, men and women. You need to answer the question. There's a great urgency here. You need to do it immediately, without any delay. Do you remember what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes? Thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It's not a very relevant text in the light of all the circumstances, the days that we're living through. Thou knowest not what evil will be upon the earth. You don't know what accidents, what disasters will come. You don't know what disasters or accidents are just around the corner for you. You don't know, men and women, what sort of natural disasters will take place. There's been tsunamis and earthquakes and floods. Think of the current virus, pestilence, in biblical terms. Remember Dr. Moody, Mr. Moody, and the Chicago fire? So you don't know, men and women. Let us warn you of that tonight. What accident awaits you? What tragedy? What disaster is soon to come? So that emphasizes there's great urgency here to trust Christ immediately. Joshua is an old man standing before the children of Israel. He gave this appeal to them, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. And that's what you need to do as well. You need to choose today, tonight, in this meeting. Because remember, this day is the only day you're sure of. There's no guarantee for any of us that we'll live to see tomorrow. So I urge you, answer now. An answer for Christ by receiving him as your Savior. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has a radio and TV program. They call it Decision Hour. And men and women, that's what this meeting is, this gospel service tonight. It's a decision hour. It's a moment of destiny. This gospel service, for some, could be a moment of eternal destiny. You need to see the reality of that, how solemn these moments are. This meeting could seal your eternal destiny. In fact, that's what happened for Pontius Pilate that day as he faced and responded to the greatest issue of life. So let me ask you at the end of the meeting, what will your decision be? What will your response be this evening to life's greatest question? What will you do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This passage gives us a first minister's response to the greatest issue in life. Pilate rejected Christ. That was his response to the question, his response to that issue. His life is a warning, men and women. It has sounded a warning down through the centuries since. May it come to your heart tonight with great power and clarity. I urge you earnestly tonight not to do the same, not to give the same response that he did to this great question, the greatest issue in life that you'll ever face, ever have to consider, and ever have to respond to. I'm going to quote to you verses of the hymn 94 in our book. It's based on this story. Listen carefully to what it says. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. But what will you do with Jesus? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him, whatever betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying him, will you say, this will I do with Jesus? The chorus, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? May the Lord bless his work to our hearts tonight.